off with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Where are we? Are we in L.A.?
No, we're in North Dakota. And only those passengers deemed fit to fly will go on to Los Angeles. And you're not one of them.
Wanna fly, fly, fly. Can I vibe, vibe, vibe on it?
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along, Captain Dennis. Okay, we've shedded our extra Johns and the extra Dennis to manage the rest of the virtual crew, so the latest aviation news and information. But that was pretty enlightening stuff. This diesel option, I would like to see this move faster than it does, but I mean, you know, got to move at the speed of the FAA and certifications, and they got a few hoops to jump through, but it sounds like they're making pretty good progress.
Yeah, it's only taken 20 some years to finally get an option. And yeah. I'm very glad that we're finally there, because, you know, 100 low lead is going to be an endangered species. There'll be 100 unleaded, but will that, you know, be compatible with everybody's airplanes? We still don't know. The FAA is starting, you know, a 5-year testing program now to phase out on, you know, 100 low lead. And, you know, it may come, I think they already said that they're going to have to either do paperwork changes or maybe hardware changes for all of the airplanes in the fleet to be able to use this new unleaded fuel. I like to see that there's an option to get off that roller coaster entirely.
Yes.
You know,
well,
diesel fuel is available almost everywhere. Yeah. These diesel engines burn Jet A, the same thing that, you know, our turboprops and turbine airplanes do. So it opens up a lot more options for fuel.
It's another channel to exploit to our advantage, hopefully.
And I mean, in theory, sustainable aviation fuel, or AKA, you know, French fry grease, you know, pretty much whatever you can get to go in a diesel could go in these airplane engines, as long as it's, you know, certified.
Right. Well, there you go. So we'll watch their progress for sure. And he even mentioned that, did he say they already have it in an RV-15 or, you know,
RV-14
or 14?
The RV-15 is brand new, but right. It's flying in an RV-14 and in a Cirrus SR-20. Yeah. And they've got it in a couple other airplanes. There's been some press releases. And in fact, Dennis is building a Bear Hawk. And if you watch the social medias and the YouTubes, you'll actually see a lot of stuff about his partnership that he's got with Bear Hawk and what he's doing. Yeah. And the Bear Hawk is kind of like a Cessna 180, like home built. So we're making a backcountry beast of an airplane there too.
Well, and that's where you're going to see the innovation first, is in with the kit type stuff, right?
Like, unfortunately, the because the burden, the barriers to entry are, you know, a lot lower and experimental. They don't have to get the certification from the FAA to be able to put that engine onto the airframe.
Right.
You know, basically it's up to you as the builder to decide that this is the appropriate power plant. But the fact that they are pursuing STCs for the general aviation fleet really does speak to the maturity of this engine.
No doubt about it. Now, we were talking about a different kit aircraft last week, I think, Sling. And there's actually some news on, is this their latest model of the engine they're using in their kit planes? Or what's going on with this story here, Dennis?
Well, what's happened is Sling also has, they call it the Sling Pilot Academy out in California. They're at the, you know, several, I think they're at Santa Monica and Torrance airports. But what they've been doing is really trying to be a good neighbor to the airport communities around that area.
So they don't kick them out?
Pretty much.
Yeah,
because everybody wants to complain about airport noise. You know, the argument of, well, the airport was there and you chose to move in is falling on deaf ears. People just don't care. And they just raise a whole bunch of stink and get the elected officials to, you know, bend to their will. And, you know, who cares what happens to the airport? Well, that's not probably the way of the future here. We're going to have to make some changes. So one of the ways that they've done is, over the last 2 years, they've been trying to innovate on their existing Sling aircraft that they're using in their training fleet. And what they have wound up doing was a three-part approach to create what they call the Whisper Sling. What they've done is they've modified the exhaust, because obviously, you know, exhaust noise is a big part of the noise footprint on a piston airplane.
Right.
So they've dramatically quieted up the exhaust. They then found that there was a lot of engine noise that was actually coming through like the cowl of the airplane. So the actual gear noise and rotation and piston slap, all that kind of noise could be perceived from the ground. So they added some high temperature insulation inside the cowl, which then deadened a lot of that mechanical noise. And that left the propeller. So the prop, you know, as you get to a high RPM, those prop tips start to get to be supersonic, which creates noise. But even without that, you have a wingtip vortice coming from the propeller tip. So they actually worked with Kato propellers to create a composite propeller that actually has like a little bit of a curvature. It's got like just out towards the end, it makes kind of like a little bit of a wave. So it creates a second prop vortice partway out the wingtip. At the tip of the blade, those two vortices interfere with each other, and it really cuts and dissipates the noise, making it nearly imperceptible. And so they did flybys of the unmodified aircraft and Cessnas and Pipers flying overhead. And the noise reduction with all of these modifications they made on the sling, you almost can't hear the airplane flying overhead.
Wow.
It was just night and day difference. I mean, I think they were comparing Pipers and Cessnas were doing over like 82 decibels of noise, mm-hmm. and the Whisper Sling was at 60. How now, that doesn't that? Seem like a lot, a 20 decibel reduction.
That's a lot. That is absolutely a lot. It is
because it's not a linear reduction. The decibels are logarithmic. Mm-hmm. So for every 2 or 3 decibels you reduce, it's like half the perceived noise.
Yeah.
It's so, I mean, this is also the wave of the future. Can we fly more friendly by incorporating some of these types of techniques? Will we see propeller manufacturers start to look to the work that they did and maybe create, you know, a Whisper prop for the Cessna training fleet? Would that make us a better neighbor? I think it would. I think it's going to be very intriguing to see in the next couple of years as we start to chase not just fuel economy, but also noise mitigation.
Well, I love the sound of that. Does it talk much about...
Yeah. I see what you did.
Of course. But what are you giving up? Is there some efficiency issues still connected to that? Or is this just new technology? Hey, we may have come up with a breakthrough that could make these things way quieter and it'll be a win-win-win. Or at least take the folks from Santa Monica, take that argument of, they're too noisy. Get them out of here. And then we'll have to deal with the real issue, why they want to shut down the airport, which is...
Well,
and develop the land into something else.
So what they were saying in their testing was that they're actually finding they were getting better climb performance with these improvements. Mm-hmm. I think they found that the reduction in noise on the propeller tips actually improved the efficiency of the propeller as well.
Wow. Okay. Well, I mean, yeah. It just sounds like a breakthrough to me. And if it works, I mean I'm all about 60... planes being quieter, even not just for the people beneath you. But I love the fact when you're in an aircraft that's well insulated, when you get into the higher, you know, trim levels, they have a little bit more deadening in there where you could take off the headset and actually be able to talk to people when the, you know, when the plane's running and stuff. I like that. That kind of
find in the turbine market. You know, there's a lot of tuning that's been done. For one, you know, the turbine engines tend to be a little bit quieter because they don't have the pistons going back and forth and all of that mechanical noise. It's right. More of a constant whir, mm-hmm. but they do a lot of work in tuning the cabin as well. I mean, I think I remember hearing some studies, you know, Beechcraft was putting like tuned noise dampeners inside the fuselage that would actually resonate with the propeller to help cancel out some of the propeller noise. These little shaped and tuned pieces of metal were actually built into the structure.
Right.
So, you know, if we can do that now with this on the piston fleet, make us a lot more neighborly and get better performance out of it, I think we should be pursuing that a lot more aggressively than we do today.
Is that available now then already?
These are modifications to the stock Rotax type engine that's put on a typical sling. You know, and maybe the people in Santa Monica might be a little bit more accommodating to the airport. In fact, a survey just came out the other day that says 75% of the residents of Santa Monica would rather see the airport than just a park. So there's hope that maybe Santa Monica will stay open past 2028.
Or at least come up with another excuse why they don't like it. But that's a whole nother issue for another day. More coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.